Hello everyone and welcome back to the Mouth of the Tyne podcast brought to you by the Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Skerr, joined as ever by Miles Stafford and Joe Buck to discuss the latest Newcastle United news, talking points and more as they prepare to return to Premier League action at Fulham this weekend. First of all, Miles, how are you doing? How's the international break been treating you?
I'll just be glad to see the back of it, to be honest, and watch some football. There's been obviously so much going on the past few days, not probably most of it not football related in terms of the country's news, world news. It'd be nice to be talking and watching football, assuming we all can get to Craven Cottage, which I'm sure we'll come on to later in the show. But no, just looking forward to the game.
Yeah, Joe, you have a similar mindset to Miles, just glad to see the back of what has been a fairly troublesome international break for Newcastle on the whole.
Absolutely. I mean, there's been barely anything to talk about really on the pitch other than I'm assuming we'll get on to Nick Pope later. But other than that, really, there's, you know, as Miles said, it's been all about what's happened off the pitch with injuries and all that. But yeah, really excited to get back to watch Newcastle because as much as results have been slightly disappointing, it's been actually quite enjoyable watching this year. So yeah, all focus on Saturday.
Yeah, it's been a difficult couple of weeks for Newcastle, not playing a game. The international break has been problematic, as we say. We've had Alexander Isak withdraw from the Sweden squad, Bruno withdraw from the Brazil squad with a thigh injury, Chris Wood with a rib injury for New Zealand. And the injuries are cropping up already this season, but it's not what you want to see. You want players coming back fully fit. Miles, it's been a frustrating one in that regard, but fortunately, maybe some positive news regarding Bruno at least.
Yeah, let's hope he's involved and the fact that he didn't play in either game has helped in that respect. Interesting, Eddie Howe, before he made his comeback against Bournemouth, he was at pains to stress the kind of good relationship, the dialogue they had with the Football Federation in Brazil. That's obviously continued with the kind of what we understand is a fresh injury, but also a minor one. So that communication is important. They've done the right thing by the player. He returned home early. He's had a good week, hopefully, to prepare. So it'd be great if he was to be involved.
Yeah, and Joe, just how important would it be for Bruno and for Newcastle for him to get back? Because ultimately, he only made his return last time out against Bournemouth, where he played about 70 minutes or so, and then a fresh setback, if you like, with a new injury, like Miles says.
Yeah, it's massive. We saw in that Bournemouth game, you could tell he wasn't up, you know, fully 100% up with the pace of the Premier League. But just, I think the midfield just looked a little bit better and a little bit, you know, more calm with him in. Yeah, it's Fulham again. I would imagine Fulham will probably attack a little bit more than Bournemouth did, but, Newcastle are probably going to have a lot of possession at Craven Cottage, so Bruno's going to be needed to control that midfield. And I think Newcastle, quite simply, are a better side with him in it. So the quicker he can get back to full fitness, the better for Eddie Howe.
Yeah, and Joe, you touched on it before. On the pitch, in terms of the international, Kieran Trippier didn't get on the pitch, but Nick Pope did start in two games, and his fine record for England unfortunately came to an end, particularly in that Germany game. It's something we're yet to see from him in a Newcastle shirt, sort of errors of judgment, spilling a shot. Do you view it as it being good to get out of his system while he's away, or are you maybe concerned moving forward the potential confidence knock that could bring?
I'm hoping it's the former and that he's just got it out of his system because might be selfish, yeah, but I don't really care what happens on England duty. He can throw three in the back of the net for all I'm concerned, as long as he does it for Newcastle. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he fares on Saturday because, you know, as much as England are meant to be the pinnacle of the country, England's defence in front of him are certainly more shaky than Newcastle's defence have been this season. So I wonder how much a strong defence and settled defensive unit in front of Pope will help him on Sunday. I was gutted for him when I saw the mistake because you know you don't want to see your keeper do that, and especially when he was given a golden opportunity really with Pickford's injury. You know, he was clearly trusted by Southgate to become that number one. So it is a slight shame to see him do that. But you know, I've got full confidence in him in the back four to put in a decent performance against Fulham because as you said, he's never showed anything to give anyone concern in a Newcastle, you know, in a Newcastle kit. So there's nothing to believe he won't perform well on Saturday.
Yeah, Miles, do you think it's maybe a bit of a like Joe says, England isn't really our concern, but maybe a bit of a missed opportunity for Nick Pope in the final two games before the World Cup?
I'm not sure. I spoke to Nick Pope about England in Austria in the summer, and obviously it's clear how important it is to him and understandably. So he's at an age where he knows he's not going to win a huge amount more caps, but he certainly wants to win a lot more caps. I suppose in terms of the positives, though, he's going to take out of that he's looks to be number two to Pickford for the World Cup. So there's we'll see how Pickford recovers from his injury. But there's still an opportunity there. He could be playing games in the World Cup, which is, you know, clearly and rightly a huge aim for him this season. You know, we were all disappointed to see the error, but he's had a fantastic season so far. He's had it for his club. He's had a busy season so far. He's a great shot stopper. That we know the other areas of his game where he's not so strong. He's a strong character, and I think he'll be just fine. Let's hope he is.
Yeah, and we were discussing last week, Miles, in a Q&A, our standout performers for Newcastle this season, and I'd say Nick Pope is probably one of them, if not the standout performer for Newcastle this season, and certainly awarded with a Player of the Month nomination and won the club's Player of the Month as well. So great start for him. Hopefully he can continue it at Fulham this weekend. But just sticking with England, one final point. Gareth Southgate has sort of prompted a debate between Newcastle fans, Liverpool fans and the wider England fan base as well, saying Kieran Trippier is a better all-round player at right-back than Trent Alexander-Arnold. England obviously blessed with several top-quality right-backs, but Trippier appears to be above Alexander-Arnold in that sort of pecking order. Just Joe, I'll start with you. What do you make of those comments? Do you agree with them? Do you see where Southgate's coming from? And would Trippier be in your England side ahead of Trent?
Yeah, I definitely see where Southgate's coming from. I think going forward, Trent probably offers you a lot more. But for me, in a tournament situation, you need a team full of sort of 7, 8 out of 10s who are going to deliver every game. And Trippier does that. I mean, I can't think of a bad game he's had at Newcastle. I think there's a couple of times this season, Trent's been pulled up for his marking, or, he's been caught in possession a couple of times, and that's what happens. He's also young, very young, Trent, and he will be a very good player. But I think Southgate relies on Trippier to be his man, in that defence, the same way probably Eddie Howe does at Newcastle. So for me, I think Trippier he'll definitely be on the play in the World Cup, and he's definitely in there at right back. As you say, it is a very, there's lots of competition for places, but I would have Trippier in there. Again, selfish Newcastle head. Let's pray he gets wrapped up in cotton wool and, doesn't go anywhere near any tackles, any challenges, because Newcastle need him just as much as England. But yeah, for me, he would definitely be a starter at the World Cup.
Yeah, Miles, how do you feel about that? Obviously, we're biased watching Newcastle week in, week out, getting a closer look at Kieran Trippier than Trent. But do you agree with what Joe and Gareth Southgate have said?
Yeah, I would. I think England's blessed with some very, very good players in that position. Defensively, you'd say that Trippier is a better player than Alexander-Arnold. So you can see exactly where Southgate's coming from. Let's hope he does play at the World Cup.
Yeah, and I was reading something earlier. If Trent weren't to go to the World Cup, he's just played one major tournament game for England, and then all of a sudden this up-and-coming player, you're looking at sort of 25, 26 years old potentially, and he may have not played a major tournament game or just one major tournament game. But anyway, moving on, Kieran Trippier gets the nod from all three of us. On the injury front, the international break hasn't been too kind, as we've heard. We've touched on it a little bit, but Miles, you'll speak to Eddie Howe tomorrow at the press conference with further updates. Just what's the latest on the injury front from what you're hearing so far?
Well, it's not just from what we're hearing. From the man himself, Callum Wilson has said he'll be fit. That's assuming he's not any late setbacks this week. He spoke on his podcast earlier this week, made it clear he was fit and available, be working hard this week, which is a huge positive because he's, for all, Isak's made an impact since coming in with the team's missed Callum Wilson. And again, on his podcast last week, it was quite significant in his assessment of that Bournemouth game and what Newcastle United missed up front. He wanted to give their centre halves more of a game. He suggested there wasn't really a physical element to the attack. He'll bring that. He'll attack balls in the box. Against Bournemouth, we saw balls into the box which weren't really suited for Isak. So when you've got Trippier out there on the right delivering balls, you want them attacked, and Wilson will bring that. And then you've got his movement, his energy. So that's great news. And in terms of the others, you would think it would be less likely to see some Maximum back. He's been missed as well, and obviously we've already touched on Gomeresh. So there's a few doubts there. We've touched on Wood as well. Isak, we know, could be facing a few weeks out. So far from ideal, but Eddie Howe's had to be without some of his key players up to now. And this season is going to be like no other in terms of the congestion, the fixture calendar, that the games are going to come thick and fast. And it's going to be who deals with that injuries the best, but he'll progress best.
Yeah, and Joe, sticking on the injury side of things, we're just seven games into the season, yet the majority of the squad, or what feels like the majority of the squad anyway, seem to have picked up niggles, picked up injuries. We've got Elliot Anderson picked up a hamstring problem. He should be back in contention for the weekend from what we're hearing. But like Jonjo Shelvey, a long absentee, Emile Kraft with his ACL, Carl Darlow, Matt Ritchie even. The list is almost endless. Do you think it's a worry, given it's only seven games into the season?
I'm not too worried, I don't think. I think if it was this time last year and we're missing all them key players, I would be worried. But I think the start has shown that, you know, they're a tough side to beat, even when they haven't got any of their main players back. So for me, I'm just a little bit optimistic that hopefully when or if they ever get them all back together on the same pitch, that, you know, that'll be when we see the real Newcastle United. But for me, it just seems, obviously, you know, we saw Eddie Howe come in and change a lot of training and fitness from the previous management. I think it might not have taken its toll right now, but obviously they want to try and get this new style of football. They want to be more on the front foot. And I think maybe that's just a contributing factor. They want to be in something you've got to sort of take on board, that you're going to pick up these injuries with this type of football. So
yeah, that's kind of a point I was going to make. Remember when Klopp first went to Liverpool, changed the way they played, made them press higher, harder. Look back to the kind of hamstring injuries, the muscle injuries they were having in that first season. So as the players adjusted to the intensity he demanded in training, in games. And, you know, a lot of the injuries we've seen have been hamstring injuries so far this season. So it's going to take this squad some time to adjust to the demands of how the intensity he wants, again, in games, in training. We've seen how they train. It's phenomenal, really, that the intensity every day that he demands. But over time, you would think that would become less of an issue.
Hopefully, yeah. And injury is never a good thing, but hopefully the greater good of progressing with training sees Newcastle become more effective in the long run. And one player who is understood to be making good progress, yet a feature this season, Jonjo Shelvey. Hearing he could be back a little earlier than expected. Miles, do you think Newcastle have missed him so far this season at all?
Well, I think that they have, because he's one of the key players for Eddie Howe. There's obviously one or two players can play in that position. I think Sean Longstaff's done well in games. Gomeresh can play that little deeper, but we all want to see him higher up the pitch. So he'll certainly be a welcome option. And again, thinking back to Austria, one of a few journalists who spoke to him after a friendly out there, he was saying how much he'd done over the summer to be prepared for the season. I know he's always a player who goes away and works on his fitness in the summer. So it's tough on him for having done all that in the summer and then to be ready for this season and then to suffer again a hamstring injury, a bad one in pre-season. And not forgetting he'll trigger a contract extension as well if he plays three more games. So yeah, definitely good to see him back, hopefully sometime before the World Cup, before the break for the World Cup. That'll be a real lift during what's going to be a congested period.
Yeah, and Joe, this is just my opinion. When Bruno came back into the side against last time out against Bournemouth, he was in that sort of John Joe Shelby role, the deeper role. Do you think Shelby's return would bring the best out of someone like Bruno, allow him to push forward like we saw last season where he scored 5 goals in 11 starts, I think it was?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Bruno, he's had a good season so far, but I think his best time at Newcastle was, as you say, in the second half of last season, or the second half of the second half when he started playing. And that was because John Joe Shelby was next to him. He was allowed that little bit of freedom to, you know, get nearer the penalty box and dictate things closer to their goal rather than, as you say, being sat back. I think the one thing with Bournemouth as well, which I hadn't realised at the time, it was only a couple of days after, how much Newcastle missed Elliot Anderson, I think, that day. Yeah. I think his bit of invention, his skill in that midfield probably would have unlocked a couple of doors, you know, and certainly would have given Bournemouth a few problems to worry about. So I think that's a massive tick in Elliot Anderson's box as well, the fact that, you know, he's only played, what, 3 or 4 games, and yet there was a game there where it was crying out for him. And not that we're relying on him, but it's just a great option to have from the bench. So once all these players come back, I think they'll be a completely different Newcastle team. But as we've said, you know, for now, we've just got to keep hoping that they can pick up enough points and do enough in games to get the wins before all these key players are back.
Yeah, and Miles, Elliot Anderson, if he's back, Callum Wilson, Newcastle could look a different sort of beast up front to what we've seen the past few games where they've struggled to score, really. Alexander Isak, just the 2 goals in 3 matches for him, are the only person who's actually scored for Newcastle since the likes of St. Maximin and Wilson were injured.
Well, and to be honest, Elliot Anderson's got to be a contender to start for them. If you think you're looking certainly on the left side, there, you know, assuming Sam Maximum's not fit, that we don't know, we'll find out more tomorrow. Ryan Fraser's been playing there. I'm sure he'll himself admit he's not been at his best yet this season. It's a position where they need something. And you think back to Anderson coming off the bench. I think it was against Palace. He was played on the left, and he was really making things happen during that strong last spell. So yeah. With this missing at Fulham, with this injury suffered with Sweden, you would think he's a contender at a start. And, you know, Eddie Howe the other week said he was pushing for a start. So it'd be interesting to see what he does there. And the fact that a 19-year-old is pushing to start Premier League games ahead of potentially, you know, full international says it all about the progress he's made and where he is right now. He's done very well. And as Joe said, he would have been a really welcome option that last game.
Yeah, certainly a bright future ahead of him, and signed a new deal at Newcastle recently as well. So great to see. And one player on the opposition team, which I'm sure Newcastle fans will be paying close attention to, Alexander Mitrovic, obviously in really good form for Fulham this season. 6 goals in 7 games, scored a championship record 43 goals last season. Miles, he's one to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, he is. You know, he was very popular during his time up here, but Rafa never really saw him as any kind of solution for what the way his team wanted to play. Rafa, of course, was playing quite defensively, you know, counter-attacking football. And Mitrovic for him wasn't the player he wanted to play in that role up front. I think he divided opinion at the time when he was here, but certainly very popular with many fans. A character. Of course, a boyhood Newcastle United fan, which helped. But he's been incredible for Fulham over the years. And you've mentioned his stats there. Absolutely brilliant. He showed he can score goals at the Premier League level again and again. But I think it was when he was here and when he left, it was all about how Rafa wanted to play. He had quite a clear idea which way he wanted to go, and Mitrovic just didn't fit into that team. And it's, you know, to be fair, that's been probably the best thing for Mitrovic. He's gone to a club where he's wanted, and he fits into how they play.
Yeah, Newcastle got a decent fee for Mitrovic when they signed when they sold him to Fulham permanently. Not a huge uproar at the time, but in retrospect, Joe, do you think Newcastle, it's a strong word, made a mistake by selling him, or do you think it was the right decision at the time?
I think it was the right decision at the time. He had lots of chances. You know, they had that whole championship season where I know Dwight Gayle was, you know, he was on fire, but also that was his opportunity to really, you know, grab that, you know, grab the scruff of the neck, and he didn't. And you know, by the end of the season, relying on Daryl Murphy to get the the goals. So I think it was the right decision. As I said, they got a fair bit of money from him. And to be fair, it's only been the last sort of two seasons where he's really hit it at Fulham. Obviously, remember last time in the Premier League, I think he only scored 5 goals. So you know, he didn't set the world alight then. He seems to have a system and a whole football club that's sort of geared around him. He's very much the main man at Fulham. And that seems to suit him. I think it's going to be very difficult for Newcastle to defend him at the weekend. It'll be interesting whether Eddie Howe goes to someone like Dan Byrne, who, you know, could probably stand up to Mitro physically. You know, he's probably played against him a few times. Whether he puts the faith in Sven Botman, who, you know, as much as I've been impressed by Sven Botman, he won't have come up against anyone like Mitrovic so far this season. So I think that's one of the major things for Howe to consider, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, and I'll put you on the spot a little bit, Joe, but right now, 28-year-old Alexander Mitrovic on fire for Fulham. Does he, if he's back at Newcastle, would you have him in your team?
No, Callum Wilson all day. I think Wilson offers you so much more, and I think as much as the injuries are a worry for Wilson, I don't know whether Mitrovic would fit in. I mean, you've got Chris Wood, who is a pretty similar player to Mitrovic. Obviously, Mitrovic's goals are, you know, far better, but there's nothing much, you know, physically wise, too much different. So I would definitely go with Callum Wilson.
Yeah, Miles, similar question. Would you take Mitrovic if you got the chance for Newcastle, take him back to the club in January?
No, much as your heart would say, look, it'd be great to have him back. He was a popular player with many fans. No, in football terms, I don't think he's the future for this club.
Fair enough. And another player sort of under the radar, signed for Fulham in the summer, Kevin Mbabu. Some might remember him from his stint at Newcastle. He's yet to make his full Premier League debut for Fulham, just 4 substitute appearances for the club. Miles, you will have seen glimpses of him at Newcastle first time around. Are you surprised to see him back in the Premier League, or see how his career has developed since leaving Newcastle?
No, I've kind of followed his career quite closely. The summer he joined, it would have been about 10 years ago. I think he was maybe 17. I went up to St. James's Park. I was invited up to speak to him. Only 17, already spoke, you know, English, no issues in terms of language. Nice lad. And I kind of followed his, obviously his career at the club. You know, he was a big talent. Got a few opportunities. Did very well in a couple of games with when I think it was when McLaren was in charge.
Yeah.
Had loan spells. And the interesting thing with him, it was the summer of 2016 when the club was preparing for the championship season with Rafa. We were away in Ireland for pre-season. And Barber was kind of sent home, I think officially with a knock midway through the camp. And that was it with him and Benitez. He was finished. And when Rafa makes his mind up on a player, that's kind of, his mind's made up. And I think he was loaned from that season for that season and later sold. So whatever issues had been in terms of fitness or fatigue that Barber experienced in Ireland and he'd gone home, that was kind of it. It was kind of brutal, really. So I've kind of followed his career since then. I think I read one interview with him where he talked about his maturity, you know, in terms of talking about, you know, how much more mature he is and over the years since he left the club. He also spoke about the kind of distractions of a young player at Newcastle United. He settled in well at the city, maybe too well, he suggested. But I thought he did, again, very well at Wolfsburg, played a lot of football, and it's great to see him back in the Premier League. A nice lad, and he's still at a good, very good age for his position. So let's hope he does well at Fulham, but obviously not on Saturday.
Yeah, and Fulham in general have been a bit of a yo-yo club the past few years, but made a very good start this season. Do you feel a different beast sort of this time around under Marco Silva, sitting sixth in the league going into Saturday's game?
I guess I haven't actually watched them play yet, but it's still early in the season. We all can think back to teams who've been in that kind of position early in the season to fall away, but they've enough of that squad have got experience of Premier League football to know what it's all about. So you'd from their point of view, you'd hope they'll make a better fist of it this time.
Yeah, and Joe, what have you made of Fulham? If you've seen anything of them so far this season, what have you made of them?
No, they've had a good start. You know, they've only been beaten by Tottenham and Arsenal, and obviously held Liverpool on opening day. So, you know, they can certainly, you know, compete with the bigger teams. I think it's going to be a very tough game for us. It's one that you want to be targeting to win, especially if you want to finish top half, pushing on them European places. You've got to go to places like Fulham, and even if you have to grind out a win, you've got to get 3 points. But I think, especially after the Palace and Bournemouth disappointments, this is a game where I think a draw would probably be another disappointment. Obviously, a defeat would as well, but certainly a draw would probably feel like a defeat. And I think if they're going to start winning games, they have to start this weekend, because as much as it's been a solid start, and I don't think there's any threat of relegation or anything, you need to start picking up wins quickly, because you can easily get in October, November with only one or two wins, and that becomes a real worry. So Saturday is going to be tough, but they've got to go for the win.
Yeah, definitely. And Newcastle set to be backed as ever by a sold out packed away end. But you've covered it. It's not going to be easy for them to get there. The train's cancelled. I mean, we've just got our press request through. I'll be doing the journey there and back on the day. It's going to be a tough one for supporters, and fair play to those who make it.
Yeah, for the second time this season, and you fear this dispute's not going to end anytime soon. So this might not be the first time the second time rather. There'll be more times coming up where this is going to cause an issue for fans. It's what we do know is that away end will be full. Fans will get there one way or another, but it's far from ideal. We know the trains are great. 3 hours you're there in London, but it's going to be a lot harder journey this time. Come kickoff time, that away end they'll be full.
Yeah, and Joe, you've had to make some difficult away journeys. How do you sympathise with the fans, obviously, this weekend?
Absolutely. I'm assuming you guys are going down in the megabus like I had to with Brighton. That's the transport policy. No, it's again, you know, it's bad. It's bad. I don't know. It's nothing that the clubs can do. The Premier League. We saw obviously Brighton Palace get cancelled a couple of weeks ago, because of train strikes. I don't know. It's one that needs sorted out, because as we've seen with the Tottenham fixture that got moved again from the Saturday to Sunday, fans are the last people that we consider about anything in football. And again, this is another thing.
And it's one thing I was listening to the radio, some people talking about the strike, and previous years or previous rail strikes going back a number of years, really, they've been held Monday to Friday. Now with having to working from home, that's less effective. The maximum inconvenience now is to hold them on the weekend, when there's, because the leisure travel's now recovered significantly from the kind of COVID days. So strikes, it seems, if they're here to stay, they're going to be on the weekends, and football fans are going to be, inconvenienced. You know, there's all kinds of problems really there for them getting to games, but and that's not delving into the other political issues which are affecting us all at the minute. So it's going to be a difficult winter for all of us, I think. But let's just hope for 3 points on Saturday to give us something to smile about.
Yeah, and safe journey for any fans that making the journey. It's never easy going all that way and not having the luxury of trains. But Miles, like Joe touched on before, Newcastle, one win in seven games, six without a win now, which is the longest winless run since Eddie Howe took charge of the club. Granted, five draws in there, but I went this stage in the season, obviously with the context of it only being the eighth game, where Newcastle really need to be winning this one, because you don't want to, like Joe says, get into late October, November, when you've only won one, two games heading into the World Cup.
Well, I think there's a lot of football to be played next month. I hate the tag must win games. People could have been saying there were must-win games, the first half of last season, right up to when they did win their first game. I think it's certainly a game they're going to take something from. You want a win. A draw wouldn't be a disaster, but you need, I guess, above all else, you need a performance. If Wilson's fit, if one or two others are fit, that's certainly going to help matters.
Yeah, definitely. And on that note, we'll wrap things up there. Miles will be at Eddie Howe's pre-match press conference on Friday morning, so you can catch all the updates from there and more over on the Shields Gazette website and social media channels. You can also subscribe to the Shields Gazette for unlimited I'd like access to all of our Newcastle United coverage, just head over to shieldsgazette.com/subscriptions for more information on that. But for now, Miles, Joe, thanks as always for joining me, and thanks to everyone for listening to the Mouth of Time podcast. Cheers.